But as we said tonight, we're going to sing, I think, four songs in the course of the lesson tonight. And the purpose and the idea of this is trying to just take a closer look at some of the songs that we sing. These are not new songs. These will all be familiar to you. And to maybe try to understand something about who wrote them and some of the circumstances behind what caused them to write these words. Many of the songs in our hymn book come from a variety of different sources and written at and sometimes very different times and different circumstances even. Few of the writers in our songbook, in the big songbook we use, few of those writers are members of the Lord's Church. Almost all of them are denominational folks. They have a denominational background. Some of them are preachers or lay ministers in denominational groups and involved in secular religions. And I'm not trying in any way to give them credit for some false views that they may hold. But if the words that they have penned in a hymn are right and they're scriptural, well, that makes it a good song, regardless of who wrote that. Again, I want to say the purpose of looking at these songs is not to give glory to the writer. Because when we sing, it's not about who wrote the song. It's about what the song says. It's about the words. It's about what it helps us to think about. It's about causing us to think about Scripture, causing us to think about the one to whom we sing. These are the thoughts that need to be in our mind. And so sometimes understanding why the songs were written or who wrote them may give us some insight about the words where maybe we relate to them a little bit better. We understand the content of the song perhaps a little bit better. And I think that's worth a great deal because we need to understand the songs that we sing. For us just to mouth words is really of no benefit to us. It makes us deficient even in being able to teach and admonish one another if there's just no meaning behind it. And certainly, God cannot be glorified if we don't understand what we're singing in such a way that we can sing it to Him. And so all of these are reasons for us just to spend a little time tonight examining some of the songs that we sing and thinking about some of those songs. Now tonight, we're not going to use the overhead. You're going to have to use your book. All these songs will be in the big book. And as I talk about some of the songs, I imagine you'll figure out what songs I'm talking about. Now here's what I want you to try to do. I want you to try to not find the song and turn to it. I'll tell you when to turn to it. So we all turn at one time, and then we'll look at the song. I just want you to think about some of the words that are being said. I want you to think about, in fact, we'll probably read the song first. And I want you just to think about those things. Well, we're going to look at a couple of passages tonight. You might be turning to Genesis chapter 1 as we begin. While I look for a songbook, you would have thought I'd brought a songbook with me. Genesis chapter 1. Well, this is not a song, and in fact, the writer would, in a most technical sense, would be the Lord, would be Jehovah God. It was Moses who penned these words that helps us just to draw to our mind here the creation. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. I like the passage, and I read it from time to time, just to kind of draw thoughts into my mind again about where this all came from, who was the maker and creator of all things, and to be reminded, if nothing else, of the power of God, and that all that we see and know and understand as we look in the world around us comes from the hand of God, and sometimes I think we have to be reminded of that. Even though we live in a day where we are constantly reminded of violence and tragedy and ugliness of today's world. You know, we can still rejoice in the beauty of nature and all that God has given us. That is ours to enjoy. Sandra and I went with Brent and Sharon this afternoon. We took a walk down at the, how do you say that, the Arboretum? I can't say that right either. There's some nice trails down there, and it was just a beautiful day today. What a great day just to go for a walk out in nature. And as you walk along, you can't help but think about what God has done and what He has given. As you walk by a stream that just is so beautiful to look at and to listen to, and to smell some of the blooms and the flowers that are coming out now, God has given these things to us to see and to enjoy. To see a beautiful sunset, or to look over a majestic mountain, to hear the sound of chirping birds, all of these things are blessings given to us from God. One of my favorite smells, fresh mown hay. Yeah, it makes me sneeze, but I love the smell anyway. All of these are just blessings from God. Part of His creation is a part of nature. And it's amazing, the sight, the sounds, the smells, all of these things. Over 100 years ago, there was a man whose name was Maltby Babcock. And he revealed his great admiration for nature in the song that he wrote. It's a hymn that we are familiar with. He was a Presbyterian preacher and recognized among that group as being very forceful in his speaking in the pulpit. He was a skilled athlete. He enjoyed anything that was an outdoor activity. There was something just about being outdoors that appealed to him in a great way. Every morning he would take a walk, and very often he would say to his wife as he was leaving, "I'm going out to see my father's world." And I thought that's an interesting kind of an idea, that somehow that needs to be in our mind. That when we go out and when we are in nature, that it needs to be a part of what we are thinking, that God has made all of these things, that this is our Father's world. In the Psalms, the 19th Psalm, you'll be familiar with this passage very simply. Psalm 19, verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of His hands." Indeed, that is so. And Mr. Babcock penned these words, "This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees and skies and seas. His hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise. The morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. The rustling grass, I hear Him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems, oh, so strong, God is ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one." Number 127. 127.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, His hands the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. In battle we must run. Jesus who died shall be satisfied. The kingdom turns back to God.
I like that song. It's very simple, but it's very powerful in what it reminds us of. Let's turn to the 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm. Again, it's a text many would be familiar with. It's a passage that just kind of reminds us and helps us to think once again about how God wants to be our shepherd. That is, that he is willing and wanting to lead us. That's what shepherds do. And I think in so many ways that is something that should give us comfort, knowing that he is willing to lead us if we will be willing to follow him. The 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside clear, quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies and anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me in all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's a blessed thought to consider and to think of being led by God Almighty. In fact, it should strike us with awe that God himself is willing to be that shepherd for us. The very idea of this is what is said struck the author of the next text, the words that we are considering. And he wrote these words in kind of a spontaneous way, he would later reflect. And the exact words that he wrote in just a very few minutes are words that have been sung by many around the world for more than a century now. Joseph Gilmore was a distinguished university professor and a seminary professor. He was the author of several textbooks in Hebrews and in English literature. And yet he's not really known for that. Even though he was a great scholar in many ways, we probably don't know anything about those episodes in his life. What we know is the words of a song that he wrote. He wrote these words kind of in a hurried way when he was just 28 years old. The story says that he scribbled down these lines when he was visiting with friends after preaching on a Wednesday night about the truths found in the 23rd Psalm. He said, he left this account. He says, "At the close of the service, we adjourned to Deacon Watson's pleasant home, where we were being entertained. During our conversation, the blessedness of God's leading grew so upon me that I took out a pencil and I wrote the text just as it stands today, and I handed it to my wife and thought no more of it." Well, without telling her husband, Mrs. Gilmore sent the verses to the Watchman and Reflector magazine, and it appeared in print the following year. Well, it was 3 years later that Joseph Gilmore was in Rochester, New York, and he was preaching at a church there, considering a move there to the Second Baptist Church in Rochester, New York. And he recalls this part of the story. "Upon entering the chapel, I took up a hymnal thinking, I wonder what they sing here. And to my amazement, the book opened up at, "He leadeth me." And that was the first time I knew that my hurriedly written lines had found a place among the songs of the church. So it's kind of interesting how it all came about, that this was some words that he had written down in just 15 minutes' time and thought really no more about that. And yet it's a song that has been sung by countless thousands around the world. A song that reminds us that, in fact, Jehovah God leads us, if we are willing to be followers of him, that indeed he does lead us. And when you think about some of the phrases in the song, such as, "His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me," it would cause us to think and reflect. Is that true? I mean, we sing it every time we sing that song. "His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me." Is it true? Are we willing to be his follower? As the words of the song would say, "He leadeth me, oh blessed thought, oh words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that leadeth me." Is that us when we say those words? Is that true? That we're willing just to hold on to the hand of God, and we wouldn't murmur about things that are difficult? We will be content whatever lot we see, because it's God's hand that leadeth me. That's what we're singing. That's what we're saying. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, even death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. Powerful words, aren't they? Number 407. 407.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis his hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, even death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful Father I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
Very good. It was King Solomon who said in the Proverbs, he said, "A man that hath friends must show himself to be friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Well, there's some truths there. That if you're going to have friends, you must first be friendly. We understand that. Some have debated what the second part means, "and there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother." Who or what is that referring to? And I'm not exactly sure, but I can make some different applications. I even wonder about the Lord, if He is a friend that sticks to us even closer to a brother. Some have said that a true friend loves and accepts us and stays close to us when times are good or when times are bad, but certainly is always ready to help in time of need. Well, the author of this next song found just such a friend in the Lord. And he decided then to spend his entire life showing a real friendship or relationship to others. The next song we're going to sing was written by Joseph Scriven. And here was a man who had wealth, he had education, he had a devoted family, he had a very pleasant life in his native land of Ireland. He had all things going for him. I mean, he was very comfortable. He could have stayed where he was and just lived a very, very nice and comfortable life. But there was some tragedy that entered his life, an expected tragedy on the night before his scheduled wedding. His fiancée drowned. In his deep sorrow, Joseph Scriven realized that he could find the solace and support he needed in only his dearest friend, in Jesus. After the tragedy, Scriven was driven to change his lifestyle. He left Ireland and he moved to Port Hope, Canada. He was determined to devote all of his extra time in being a friend to others who needed help, who needed encouragement, those simply who needed a friend. He often gave away his clothing and possessions to those in need. He worked without pay for anyone who needed him. He became known as the Good Samaritan of Port Hope. When Scriven's mother became ill in Ireland, he wrote a comforting letter to her, and he closed the words of his newly written poem or prayer with the prayer that these brief lines would remind her of the never-failing heavenly friend that he knew. You know the words. The words are very simple to the song. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble everywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows bear? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. There's a couple of passages written by the Apostle John that might come to mind. John chapter 15. In John chapter 15 and verse 13, it's Jesus who is speaking. And Jesus says, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do whatever I command you." A couple of the truths that just stand out in this is that if we want to be a friend to Jesus, we have to accept and follow the truths that he has given us. And the idea here of greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for his friends. And what exactly did the Lord do? But lay down his life for those who would be his followers. In the book of 1 John, chapter 5, still the same writer, the Apostle John. 1 John, chapter 5, and let's see, beginning of verse 14, John says, "In this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." Confidence, hope, encouragement comes from knowing these things. Number 69. Number 69.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Cumbered with a load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Now we look at one more song. John also penned these words. And he who keeps his commandments dwells in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24. The author of this next song, Henry Light, was an Anglican preacher. He battled tuberculosis all of his life, and over time it just continued to get worse and cause greater problems. And yet he was known as a man who was strong in spirit and faith. Some have said that it was he who coined the phrase, "It is better to wear out than to rust out." During his later years, his health progressively worsened so that he needed to seek a warmer climate in Italy. He was, of course, living in Europe. For the last sermon with his parishioners in Lower Brixham, England, he nearly had to crawl into the pulpit. His final words, though, made a very deep impact on those who were there on that September day, 1847. He said, "It is my desire to induce you to prepare for the solemn hour which must come to us all by a timely appreciation and dependence on the death of Christ." Indeed, so must we. understand our dependence on the death of Christ. Mr. Light's inspiration for writing this song came shortly before his final sermon. It came while reading the account in Luke 24 of the Lord's appearance on the road to Emmaus. Do you recall that story? When there were two disciples walking along the road to Emmaus and the Lord kind of joined in with them. Of course, they didn't recognize that it was the Lord walking along with them. And in the text in Luke chapter 24 and in verse 29, we're kind of stepping into the story here. Those two disciples, it says, and they constrained him, speaking of the Lord. And they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went to stay with them. Indeed, they were interested in this one who has come along with them and who had some interesting things to tell them, so much so that they were constrained to say, "Would you come with us? Would you abide with us? Would you just come and stay with us?" And how discouraged I can only imagine these disciples were when later they came to realize that it was in fact the Christ who had been walking with them, but now he has gone on. He had left them. They were walking in the company of the arisen. They were walking in the company of the eternal Son of God. They didn't know it, but they were so excited about the events that had taken place and the resurrection that had taken place that when you read the story there in Luke chapter 24, you can see and you can feel the excitement that was in their hearts about the events that had happened. They wanted to tell this one who had joined in there with them, walking along. Of course, it was the Christ who was even there with them. And it's kind of remarkable that they had asked him to abide with us and stay with us. Mr. Light penned these words: "Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord. With me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be? Through cloud and sunshine, oh, abide with me. I need thy presence every passing hour. What by thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be through cloud and sunshine? Oh, abide with me." Number 74.
Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be? Clouds and sunshine, oh, abide with me.
I hope and I pray that all of us have made that same request of the Lord, to abide with me. There's an invitation that has been given by our Lord that we might respond, that we might come to him. And he will come to us if we will just be willing to go to him. And as we think about some of these songs and the words tonight, I'm just hoping that maybe it's encouraged us, it's helped us, it's increased our faith. And maybe even tonight there's someone who needs to make some correction in their life, to make their life right with God. Maybe even tonight there's one who needs to become a baptized believer. The invitation is still being offered. If you need to respond, would you come as we stand and sing?